When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Consequence Podcast Network. Welcome to Consequence Uncut, a series that gives listeners and readers a deeper dive into our features with major artists.
For this episode, we are talking to our 2023 Producer of the Year, James Ford.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I get sent a lot of demos and there's a lot of like, oh, maybe you'd like to work with these guys or not, you know, and I honestly just go on instinct on if I hear something and I hear something in it that excites me, you know, I'll get in a room with someone.
I'm Mijun Zhu, lead podcast producer at Consequence.
I am Paolo Ragusa, an associate editor at Consequence.
Paolo, welcome back to Consequence Uncut. I mean, every time you leave, I just want to have you back. So we needed to have you back.
Aw, well, it was a pleasure to be able to do this interview with James Ford. I've been a big fan of his production work for a while. We're highlighting James Ford this year because not only has he produced a lot of great individual songs and albums in the past, but this year specifically, he produced albums from Jesse Ware, Blur, Depeche Mode, and Geese, as well as helming the Last Dinner Party's debut album that's going to come out next year, and their awesome lead single, Nothing Matters.
I know. Can this guy work any less?
Right? He definitely described it as a when it rains, it pours situation.
Well, when it rains, may it pour into his bank account. And, you know, if he has anything to spare, you know, taxes are coming. So we will not be shy. You know, I guess it's like, that's the joy of like this part of the year. We just kind of like get to celebrate people. And who better to celebrate than the person that's responsible for Jesse Ware's new album? Oh my God.
Yes, yes. James Ford was one of the primary producers of Jesse Ware's album. That feels good.
Yeah.
with the exclamation points included. We in the interview, what's great is that we obviously talk about crafting this album with Jesse Ware. We also shout out one of my other favorite producers, Stuart Price, whom we both very briefly name as a legend. Mm. But also, James Ford has worked so much in the dance and electronic space as a member of Simian Mobile Disco. He's a huge fan of that kind of specific late 70s disco sound, a lot of the analog stuff. He wanted this album to feel just as vibrant as, you know, some of those classic Studio 54 chic Nile Rodgers numbers.
Yeah.
And I think he really achieved it.
I 100% was thinking that. So I didn't know that this album was out until I was talking with a friend who happens to be of the queer community. And he was just like, I just love this album. And so literally I was going for a walk and I listened to the whole thing and was just like dancing down the street. Because Jesse Ware's voice is incredible on this album. She's doing some things in her upper register that I haven't heard in a while. And, you know, she, like, all the songs are just fun. They're just good, fun music that, like, you know, that really are, I guess, going to keep us dancing into 2024.
Absolutely. What I love about what James said about Jesse specifically is they've worked together a lot, but he really said that she's found her voice kind of later on in her career, and it's just a pleasure to witness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, he did Tough Love, too.
He did. He's been, he refers to her as a good friend.
Yeah, I mean, but as good friend meaning, like, he's worked on most of her albums and continues to. And it's really funny because there's almost like this cool little club of like producers and singers. Like that symbiotic relationship is so powerful in the UK. And you see it with like people like, you know, how Jessie Ware, Sam Smith, Ella, what's her name? You know, like, you and me.
Oh, Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah. Like there were so many people who were like
about her
really, really talented that worked with, you know, Disclosure as Disclosure was coming out all at the same time. So like, James Ford is definitely a part of that family. And I mean, just thinking of the other people he worked with, Blur, Depeche Mode, Geese, The Last Dinner Party, like, this is a powerful roster.
We talk a lot about working on that Blur album specifically. Blur obviously was a big Consequence cover story that we did this year with Damon Albarn. And it was really great to hear sort of James' perspective of how that album came together. He was a little bit nervous, you know, that some of the in-group tensions, especially because they hadn't made an album together in so long, was going to maybe dominate that process. But he really talked about it being very light and very naturalistic. He talked about the way some of the songs came together, how Graham Coxon's guitar work is so specific to that band's overall sound. And it's just a nice little bonus look at Blur's coming together this year after so much time away.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this. Thank you for ringing in the... Well, are you ringing in the new year or are you ringing out the year?
No, I think it's maybe ringing out the year.
Yeah, that we're ringing out the year. We're ringing out the year production-wise with a particular gem, so thank you so much.
Definitely. So you can check this article out on consequence.net.
And before we let you go, we want to let you know that we're on a mission to spread the word about Consequence Uncut. If you love our show as much as we love bringing it to you, we need you to hop over to Apple Podcasts, hit the follow button, and leave us a review. Not only is this a quick way for you to show your support, but it will also give you a chance to win some exclusive Consequence merch. Consider it our gift to you for the holidays. So just go to the link in the show notes and submit your info along with a screenshot of your review. We'll be shouting out names of the winners this December, so make sure to follow and review as soon as possible. Thank you for helping Consequence Uncut grow. And now, without further ado, I'll turn it over to Paolo and James Ford for this interview. Please enjoy.
So today we are talking to James Ford. You are our 2023 at Consequence, our 2023 producer of the year. You have a great year every year based on your output. You're working with so many different artists, so many different disciplines. But this year in particular felt like a really landmark year for you, especially in the early part of the year. I know a lot of these records you'd worked on last year, but they came out this year. Really amazing albums from Jessie Ware, Depeche Mode, Blur, just such a huge resume, specifically this year. So real quick, before we dive into these albums, just would love to hear about what this year has meant to you. Maybe if there's something that feels a little different this year, especially with your solo album. What has 2023 meant to James Ford?
Yeah, it's funny how things go. I've been doing this for quite a few years now. And yeah, you get these little moments where, you know, like buses where they all come at once. This year has felt really good, honestly. I've constantly had sort of exciting work that I've been, you know, really proud to be in the room with certain people, with, you know, a lot of heroes, and then also working on some new stuff and balancing that out with my own record. It has been a fun year. I'm still not over, you know, of a couple of other records in the pipeline as we speak. So yeah, you know, I feel like I'm hitting some kind of stride. It's good.
Beautiful. Love to hear it. I first want to talk about this Jessie Ware album that came out earlier this year. That feels good. Sounded like a long time coming. You guys had probably been working on that for the last couple years. But in terms of production, that seems like such an incredible accomplishment. Jessie Ware sounds unbelievable on that album. A lot of the choices are just so clear and radiant. And I'm also a big Stuart Price fan. I loved the songs you worked on with Stuart. Yeah. I just think he's the best as well. So talk to me about, I mean, he's a legend. So talk to me about, yeah, working on that record specifically with Jessie and what that process was
like. Yeah, I did the record before, the What's Your Pleasure record as well. And that was, you know, I'd been, Jesse's kind of a long-term friend, but it was only sort of in the last couple of records that we've really got stuck into making music together. We did a few things before, but yeah, she was in a bit of a funny place in her career and was just willing to kind of, she just wanted to make a fun record and, you know, yeah, just throw everything at it in terms of just making music that made us feel good while we were making it. I mean, honestly, we made most of it here. I'm in my house, in my home studio. And yeah, just showing you around, like, she would come up here. He had like a drum kit in the corner. Yeah, so she would come up here and, you know, we'd listen to a few songs that had been inspiring her and work with a few writers and stuff as well. But really, we'd just kind of get stuck in. I'd start making some music and she'd be coming up with melody ideas. And yeah, she, you know, Jessie is lovely, very easy to work with, very self-depreciating. But, you know, she's got a killer voice. It's very, very easy to record her. And it was a lot of fun, yeah. And then, you know, we took it out of this room as well to do some kind of brass and some strings and whatever. But it was, yeah, a really, really kind of quite open and sort of free process. I actually went to see a play at Alexandra Palace on the weekend. And yeah, she's really in her element now. She's sort of found her voice kind of late in her career, which is a great thing to see. It seemed like... she was really enjoying herself and she was really owning the stage and it was great.
Yeah, I remember hearing that first Jessie Ware album over 10 years ago and just being like, wow, what an incredible voice she has. But never did I ever expect her to take this kind of left turn, this very exuberant left turn. And I think it really suits her voice and suits her songwriting well. Did you really think a lot about this kind of Studio 54 era that is kind of captured?
Of course, with the Simio Mobile Disco thing, I've spent many years DJing and, you know, I'm a huge fan of kind of old school disco, house and techno and, you know, the roots of dance music as we know it. So, you know, for me, it was really quite an indulgence to be able to just sort of lean back on those references, really. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. It felt like there was no pressure, really. You know, we're probably going to make moves towards a new record. And funnily enough, it's probably more pressure now that the record to do well. But it's a fun process.
So a new Depeche Mode album, you've obviously worked with them before, but this time it's the first album without Andy Fletcher. It must have been a pretty emotional process, especially just being in the room with Martin and Dave. What was that experience like?
Yeah, looking back, it was really bizarre, I suppose. It was wonderful, though. I really, really enjoyed it. I'd made the record before and found that record really difficult to make. You know, the tensions between the band were really kind of peaking around then. It was quite fraught. You know, I'm pretty laid back as a producer, but it was quite, you know, I found it quite stressful. So I was quite nervous going back into this record. And then the whole thing with Andy sadly passing a month before that we started, just, I really didn't know what to expect, you know. And so went in and we just kept the team really small. It was just me and Marta Saloni, who's like a brilliant engineer, and Martin and Dave, honestly. And we were just in Martin's house in Santa Barbara. And yeah, it was this kind of sort of quite sort of tender, bittersweet process where, you know, Martin and Dave have had their sort of issues in the past, but they were really sort of kind of connecting and bonding and writing together for the first time. And again, there's this sort of like openness that I hadn't experienced before. You know, I think a brush with mortality really makes you not sweat the small stuff, I suppose, you know. And once we got into it, it felt really kind of sort of smooth. The songs were good. We had a clear direction and we had a really nice time. My main memory is some nice kind of long lunches and stuff with them all. And they were just telling stories and about Andy and, you know, reminiscing back to the Basildon days. And I just, again, felt very lucky to be there, to be just a kind of fly on the wall, really, to a moment in history.
Absolutely. I wonderfully put, I think that really sums up that experience. Similarly, not as similar, but another kind of sort of quote unquote comeback album. It was the new Blur album that you worked on. We did this big cover story with Blur earlier this year, and we loved talking to Damon about how this album came together and the kind of camaraderie that you really can hear on that record. And it is produced very, very beautifully. I feel like you can really hear the band in such a great way. Talk to me about the first Blur album in 8 years.
Yeah, well, I think it's the first one that they've all been, the first time they've all been in the room together collaborating like that in longer than 8 years, you know.
But again,
I was a big Blur fan growing up. You know, they kind of got me through some teenage angst, you know. And then, you know, been lucky to have the opportunity to work with Graham separately and also with Damon on some Gorilla stuff. And, you know, they're both sort of fantastic, incredible creative musicians. Really didn't sort of let me down, you know, Don't Be Your Heroes and all that. But still, going into a Blur album is a very different proposition, you know, that again, there's a lot of water under the bridge.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
There and things that have happened in the past, and I really wasn't sure how it would go. You know, it was again felt quite a sort of risky project to get involved with in a way. You know, I knew how talented they all are, but you never really know how the stars are going to align, you know, in a process. Yeah. My strategy was to just get in there and get them all playing together and trying to move quickly and keep the energy up and keep it fluid. And it seemed to work really well. It was a little tense for the first little bit, but once we got going, everyone's kind of relaxed. And from my point of view, it was great to see, you know, how all the parts fit together. You know, Alex and Dave are great players and really kind of slot into their roles. And obviously Damon's songwriting is amazing. But then something about the way kind of Graham comes in at a sort of obtuse angle just makes it turn into Blur. You know, it's like, some of the demos sounded a little Gorillaz-y, you know. It's like, oh, is this going to work for Blur? And then, you know, Graham comes in and kind of makes some crazy noises on it. It's like, oh, that's what it is. You know, it's like the way the parts fit together, it was wonderful to see, you know, especially as a fan, like I say.
Definitely. Yeah. Did you feel that? I think that I love that song on that album, St. Charles Square, that feels like a classic Blur song, even though it was made like, you know, recently. Yeah. Did you get that sense when you were kind of listening back to the tracks or working on them that you were like, this is the band that I loved when I was 15 years old,
yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, but like, you know, like it's funny from the demos, because the demo didn't sound particularly like that, you know, had this slightly kind of bossa nova-y beat or something, but, you know, Graham's kind of big, you know, he did this thing where he tunes one of the strings slightly differently and bends one of the notes into the chord. And it was like, that is so Blur, you know, the way he's playing it, you know, and I, he's obviously aware of that as well. But yeah, when he put that guitar on that St. Charles Square tune, it was like, oh, this is it. This is the parts coming together, you know, to see it in front of your eyes, like I said, is pretty magical.
We are big fans at Consequence. We've been big fans of Geese since their first. You worked on 3D Country, which very, very different sounding album for that band. They embrace a lot of different styles, kind of gray areas. And I think all of us were a little bit surprised and definitely delighted. I think it's such an interesting sophomore album from this band, this New York band. Yeah. I'm in New York, so we love Geese. But talk to me about working on that record.
Man, I loved it. They're brilliant. Like, it was, you know, I remember we made it in, it seems to remember it was kind of January and it was cold and we were in New York. And they're all pretty damn young, but it's like, it was quite an eye-opener for me, because, you know, they're all brilliant musicians, producers. You know, Cameron is incredibly talented and ambitious, and you know the way that they all interacted, and it was a real eye opener to a new generation, you know, as well. You know, they've got like really deep taste in music, you know, grown up with Spotify and all that, maybe one of the kind of the generations coming through with that. And yeah, I was really taken aback by how accomplished they are at such an early stage. And yeah, I'm sure they're going to go on and on. They're a brilliant band and they're great live. And yeah, you know, some like even the album kind of got a little bit not by me, but got a little reined in from where it was heading. Even, you know, they're kind of like heading out into some weird place of their own, which I've got a lot of respect for.
Definitely. What drew you to them, to working with them in the first place? When do you remember the first time you'd heard them?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I get sent a lot of demos and there's a lot of like, oh, maybe you'd like to work with these guys or not, you know, and I honestly just go on instinct on if I hear something and I hear something in it that excites me, I'll get in a room with someone. And yeah, those demos, I was just like, I couldn't quite understand what it was, you know, but it was different to anything I'd heard in a while. And yeah, I just was excited to see what would happen if we got in a room together. And you know, I think there's some brilliant tracks on that record.
Yeah, Geese is one of those bands that I like to describe as they make songs like a choose your own adventure book. Like each part of the song lends itself to a totally different adventure that they'll go on for like a minute and then they'll come back.
Yeah, totally. And but somehow they kind of make it cohesive, you know. But yeah, some of the idea, you know, like some of the ideas were, because as a producer, you're trying to kind of find the palette and find the draw the frame around the picture, as it were. But with them, it was quite difficult because there was like just so many disparate elements, and it, you know, part of me was just like, oh, you just kind of got to go with it and see what happens, you know. And but yeah, they were great.
The next artist that I want to ask you about, this one's a pretty brand new artist. The Last Dinner Party. I'm sure a lot of people are asking you about working with them. That first song, I remember when I heard it earlier this summer, I was like, this is a song. It's a real tune. Nothing matters. Talk to me about working with them, especially, yeah, young musicians. They have a very specific sound that also just kind of reminds me of a lot of bands that you would work with 10 years ago, if that makes sense.
Yeah, similarly, I kind of got the demo through a friend and just, again, loved the ambition of it. It seemed kind of the scale of it, really, of what they were aiming for seemed pretty exciting. And yeah, we ended up recording, you know, basically we recorded the whole album in January, February, and singles have been coming out as it goes through, but it's been done for a while and it's a great record. You know, there's sort of, you know, great, you know, what I'll call sort of Sparks-ish kind of Queen pop stuff, but then it goes into strange, like, you know, kind of orchestral things. And, you know, but again, it's slightly all over the shop. There's kind of a new generation of kind of, just sort of eclecticism maybe. But again, with, you know, sort of Abby's voice ties it all together and she's a brilliant performer, a brilliant singer. You know, they're all girls. They all write their own thing. They play brilliantly. You know, it's great to see a band of girls really kind of owning it. You know, it's exciting to see it happen.
Absolutely. And they're getting bigger and bigger by the day. I know certainly in America, I think it's really in the last couple months, Nothing Matters has started going on radio playlists. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are really catching on. Though it is funny that they are, you know, there's got to be a clean edit of that song.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And every time I hear it, I'm like, it's not quite the same, you know?
No, even in the studio, we're like, you know, and you can hug me, you know, it doesn't really work. I got it in the ear from the manager. They were like, how can you make such a big song with a swear word in the middle? I was like, it's kind of the swear word that makes it catchy and great.
It's such a, I think it's also like, yeah, the first time I heard it, it was such a jarring moment, you know, of like, oh, wow, all right, so here we go.
Yeah, that's what makes that particular song so sticky, is that it's quite, the lyric tie, you know, against it. I always love when a lyric kind of cuts against the music. And
totally. Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, we already went through such a, you know, intensive understanding of the work that you've done this year. I want to ask just a few general questions now. As we've talked about a lot of these newer artists, I'm really curious, yeah, like what is something that you look for when you listen to newer artists, or who are some new artists that have come out in the last 5-6 months that have really caught your eye, caught your ear?
Well, I suppose one I should mention that I've been working with this band called Fat Dog, which are a new, new British sort of band. Again, they're quite, quite all over the place, sort of dance, but then it goes into strange sort of klezmer, you know, happy hardcore. It's all over the place. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're, again, great live. I saw them live and they were sort of early days and it was so chaotic. It sort of reminded me of, kind of took me back a little bit to the sort of 2005-06 kind of Klaxons early days, sort of.
That's nice tools. I know you worked on
Yeah, that kind of, that gave me that kind of feel of, so I've been working with them. And yeah, like, you know, what do I look for? Like I said before, I just, you know, if I see something live or I hear it, it's kind of indescribable. Sometimes it's something kind of, you know, beautiful and meaningful. And sometimes it's just chaos, you know, it's really difficult to put my finger on it. And I suppose it's dependent on my mood and the things that I'm into at the minute. But yeah, you know, I just, you know, I'm lucky that I come across lots of stuff at the minute. And, you know, for me, it's a balance of trying to, you know, do some stuff. Like I've obviously done kind of more what you call the older acts, but then, you know, trying to keep doing new stuff as well. But then, all, you know, obviously made my own record as well for, you know, for my own sake. It's sort of just trying to get the balance right in my life, if you know what I mean, of the things that I want to do and, you know, mixing, paying the bills with having the freedom to be creatives, you know. And I feel fortunate. I managed to tread that line pretty well at the minute.
That's beautiful. I love spoken like a true artist, finding the balance. I think that's wonderful. I have another question, just because you've been producing for so long, you've so much experience working with other bands, both large and small. Do you have any rules when it comes to producing an album with a band or with an artist?
I think the further I go through it, the less I think that any kind of rules or plan makes any sense at all. Because, you know, I've done it enough times to know that more often than not, you know, best laid plans and all that just get totally thrown out the window. You obviously need to head in a direction. But I think if you have a plan or some hard and fast rules, then that's just restrictive at the end of the day. You're limiting yourself. And really, I think being a producer is about responding to the best thing that's happening in that moment, you know, and whatever, wherever the best energy is in that room or the best, you know, musical idea is, you move towards that and, you know, kind of be open and sort of have the right intentions about it. But that's about all you can do. You know, it's you know, I'll often hear like a bunch of demos. You know, I'm about to start a new record tomorrow with a totally new band. Heard some demos. I've got an idea in my head about how it should sound and what we should do and how we should mic up the drums and what effects we should use. You know what I mean? All of those kind of things. But, you know, I know for a fact that, you know, 4 or 5 days in, all of those plans will have gone out the window.
I see. That's nature of the studio. That makes sense.
Yeah, but
to
that's also why it's exciting. You know, you have to think on your feet and you have to be flexible. And you know, I suppose as you get older, you and have been through the process a few more times, you get more relaxed and more comfortable that, you know, I'm going to be able to figure this out. We're going to make a record. Well, you know, don't panic. It's going to be all right. And that's about the best advice.
I love that. I think that's amazing. This is maybe going to be a tougher question, but just if there are a few songs, I don't want to make you just pick one, but a few songs from your long, long discography as a songwriter and a producer that you still listen to or still hear and are like, wow, I really can't believe I made that, or I was there to make that. It's a tough one.
It is a very tough one, yeah. You know, I'm not a great fan of listening to things that I've made, if you know what I mean.
Makes sense.
It's not like I sit there and kind of enjoy listening to any of that stuff. Sometimes when things will come on the radio or I'll hear them somewhere in a taxi or something, now and again I'll hear something and be like, oh, that one's actually pretty good, you know, or like, I was like, oh, that was a bit of a stinker. You know, it's funny. I sort of feel like after maybe 5 years, you can sort of detach enough to listen to it like a, you know, like a punter, as it were. But, you know, if I was going to pick something from the top of my head, one from fairly recently, I do love Mirable off the from the Arctic Monkeys, the first song off the car. I think that's really something about that song. I remember hearing it for the first time, and I remember making it and doing the strings for it. And we actually played keyboards with them. They did their last gig of their tour recently, and I had to, you know, learn some of it. And so I was listening to it again recently, and I was like, "Wow, this is pretty good."
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.